League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, we are very excited. Starting at 9.9, it's Kevin and Jenna. We are joined by the very funny Alana Glazer. She's coming to College Street Music Hall in New Haven September 14th. Going to be an awesome show. You can get tickets at collegestreetmusichall.com.
Yeah, and Alana is back on the road after a couple of years, a little break. I think the whole world took a little break at that point. Yeah. Alana, how's it feel to kind of shake off the cobwebs and get back to doing what you love?
That is what it feels like. Like I'm shaking off the cobwebs. I mean, like also as I was like building the material for this tour last year, I was like, I don't know. I don't have a vocabulary anymore. I sound like Tony from The Sopranos and I can't recall. It was so crazy getting back into it. Cause I really didn't do stand up and I had a baby too. So I really like for that first year took a step back and it's feeling like, first of all, I've been having, I've just been feeling more comfortable and less anxious. Jenna, we were talking before we were rolling here about this awkwardness, and I really struggle with anxiety a lot in my like day-to-day life. And I'm really finding on this tour that I'm having less anxiety and taking more pleasure than ever before with stand-up and more than any tour I've ever done. This is my like fifth tour I did, or fourth tour. And oh no, well, fifth because the last one was shut down. I did one with my co-creator of Broad City, Abby Jacobson. I did one with the comedian, Phoebe Robinson, and I did two solo tours before this. And, I'm just having the most fun. It feels like I have a two-year-old and I'm talking a lot about that in my hour, but I'm also like, these are my babies.
Yeah.
Like we're all babies together. The audiences are like it just feels so warm and like everybody's just feels like, or at least my audiences, we're all so ready to let go and giggle and laugh, and it's been a blast. It's been a real blast.
And you mentioned that you have a child. Do you think that parenthood maybe contributed to that whole kind of transformation in your mind and your approach to touring, like the less anxiety and feeling more comfortable with yourself?
Totally. And like, I, you know, like I think having, dealing with like anxiety and depression so much before, you know, and so many comedians do as well. And like, I think the, culture has changed right at where we're all talking about it a lot in the past like 10 years. I mean, certainly in the past seven, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like having a kid, it's so anxiety provoking. And there are so many, there's so much sadness about it, about like, you know, everybody's like, they grow up so fast. There's so much like constant sadness by like with how precious they are. And it's just like overwhelming that I feel like almost I have a high tolerance for it. And now that I'm like a parent, it feels like, oh, finally I can actually point this anxiety somewhere. This is all contextualized, you know? So now I'm feeling like more in my element. And, I think like, things like my comedy, which is so important to me. Comedy is like such a big part of like my spirituality or something. It's like I'm Jewish and I feel like comedy is like part of my religion or something.
Right.
But it's like so much of it now is like lighter because I have a kid. This whole crazy miraculous thing happened. And then now it's like day to day, like peeing, pooping, eating, sleeping, like just these like animal basics, you know, that like make the heavy so much lighter. It's been such an interesting paradox. And I think also the heaviness of like, I mean, this like political insanity and intensity we've all been enduring together. And then COVID, I feel like collectively our whole country has experienced this paradox of heavy and light. And it's been, things have just changed. And in my experience, like, it feels so, I really am so catching up with the reality that this gets to be my job. It's so much fun. It feels so, it's so meaningful to me to like travel the country and laugh with people. And it feels like we've all been, really forced to deal with like intense, heavy, heavy issues. And then also like just dumb little, like silly little stuff, like on have equal footing in our minds now, you know? So like this experience I'm having as a relatively new parent, I feel like we're all kind of, living on that scale these days. And I've been really feeling it in my shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have a daughter who's almost five and then a daughter who's almost two. And it, it really is true. And, and especially when you're, you know, when you have a creative outlet, like with me telling stories on the radio or you with your stand up, it does kind of merge into your life. You know, it's like your working life are the same thing. But so, it's interesting to pull from that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like it's so beautiful. Like one feeds the other, feeds back and feeds back. And like it's just as I think everything is in one place when one has a child amplified. And it's like sort of just highlighting like those dynamics that were there to begin with. And it's thrilling. And I guess to the point of being like, my audience, they're my babies. They're my little babies. Just that like that sort of personal life bleeding into the professional context that's like, it feels right though. You know, it's like I feel less compartmentalized and like flowing more these days.
Yeah, so a lot of changes in your personal life and then a lot of changes in the industry that you work in as well.
Yeah, because
go ahead, sorry.
No, I was saying we've been talking a lot about the writers actors strike, you know, that's been happening, and obviously you're on the front lines of it, you know. So, you know, how is that? How have you been dealing with that? And we always like to know, like, how can people who are listening support and, you know, everything that's been going on with it?
So I want to say, like, I speak up, and I am pro-union. I am so proud of my unions for striking, the Actors Guild and the Writers Guild, and I'm so grateful to them for their leadership, their bravery, strength, and health insurance. I'm literally like, thank you for the health insurance. But there are like people there, the people who are really on the front lines negotiating every day with these multi billion dollar entities as like, you know, working families and like working people. I am so grateful to them and that leadership. And first of all, like it's funny to me, just like strange how this lines up with this tour, because I've been pretty busy getting on the road. And I guess also like union strikes, I mean, they feel so American to me, like that's really a deeply American experience and phenomenon to be a part of.
Right.
And proudly so. So to be on strike, but then also like visiting different cities and getting the energy and vibe and the cultures of different cities and states has been really like a unified experience and makes me like prouder and like feel like stronger about our leadership and what they're negotiating. It's like, yes, get everything that you can. What we're asking for is not even that much. We are asking collectively for 0.2% of these companies' profits. That's the highest that we're asking for, 0.2%, not 2%, which would also be reasonable.
Right.
0.2%. It's cartoonish. It's cartoonish.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think that it is cartoonish, and there's this, you know, idea of coastal elites being multi-millionaires. And like, sure, we know about like certain, you know, showrunners or creators or filmmakers who are extremely successful and, you know, but it's not like, but these people like earned their jobs. I get so emotional about like people who've been sort of like the very few individuals who've been plugged into a giant corporate entity and then rake in all these profits off the backs of human being creative. And the fact that they want to slowly eliminate the human element from storytelling, that's where it becomes like I mean, it's all pretty violent and violating people's health and liberties and access to healthcare. But that the AI part of this whole thing is so violent and so dangerous to all of humanity. You know, we're all sharing our stories now with each other all day, every day on social media, points of view being honed in. And finally, when voices that have been historically marginalized, Indigenous, Black, Brown, mm-hmm. women, queer, gay, trans people telling their own stories. And by the way, very few, still in the margins of what gets to get made. Suddenly, robots are welcome to write these stories. It's absurd. It's cartoonishly evil. And it's wrong. And gosh, I wish I were actually, you know, I have strong feelings about it, but I struggle with the information and the reading comprehension part. I wish I had some more specific directives of how people can support, but I would really just encourage reading up on it to understand how this affects, let's say, America at large, but really like it's humanity to me. But it really is connected to the labor movement, and you know, we artists want to tell the stories of our communities and our neighbors and our friends and family. So it really is about giving the power to robots or keeping it healthy among different kinds of people.
Yeah, and I think once people start to realize that, you know, it could, because the AI stuff can affect really every industry. I mean, it already is. So once they realize that, oh, it's affecting me too, like they can empathize that way. You
That's
know?
When they start moving, yeah. Right? So a part of it is bringing awareness to it, and all the details that you provided super helpful. And
yeah.
I'm so glad.
And, you know, before we wrap up, we were wondering, so we were going over the other day our summer bucket list of things that we were able to accomplish that we wanted to, because I feel like the summer flies by every year.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you had that you wanted to do this summer that you either did or you didn't get to do?
Okay. So, first of all, this tour was like had been so much fun. Like, I really love to get out of New York City where I live during the summer. So that was like super helpful just bucket wise. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, a couple things that happened on tour. I signed a kitty. I wouldn't say that was on my summer bucket list, cause I didn't even know. I have signed kitties before, but I didn't even realize, like, oh my gosh, this opportunity is going to come up again. It cracks me up. It is the best. I signed a non-binary kitty. It rules. In Northampton, Massachusetts, which is famously crunchy and queer. And I was like, this is sort of consummating my experience here.
Yeah, you must have felt like a rock star, an old school rock star.
It was lit. That's one of my favorite fan engagement. That's one of my favorite ones. Favorite classes of fan engagement.
Yeah.
And,
now, was it just like, was it just name signing or like full dedication?
LOL, like a note, writing a note. No, it was just my name. And you know what? I had a fun party night in Charleston, South Carolina. That was a good bucket list, because I've been just like, I don't know, like phasing out of drinking as much and all that fun stuff. It's like I just don't have the bandwidth. And but this like night in South Carolina, Charleston, what a fun, funky little town. It was so hot that day. I hadn't ever experienced like the southern summer heat like that. And that night we were after the show, we were staying at this hotel with this cute bar and had all these like espresso martinis and pulled an all-nighter to get an early flight. And I was like, am I young? And then the next day during the hangover, I was like, definitely not.
Your bucket list items, so much cooler. Like, mine was fit in a road trip, and Kevin's was learn a song by the end of the summer.
On a guitar, because I can only play like three chords.
Okay, tell me, what was the road trip and what was the song?
Oh, so I drove out to the Jersey Shore.
And mine was going to be Miley Cyrus' Party in the USA, but it was too hard. So, because my daughter loves it. But so I decided to do Oasis Wonderwall because it's easier.
Nice.
but nice, still nice. Cool.
Okay, cool. Check, guys. Yep. We all did it.
Go. High fives all around. Yeah.
Go us. Well, we're so excited for your show, Alana Glazer. You know, if you want to go see her College Street Music Hall in New Haven, September 14th, you can get tickets at collegestreetmusichall.com. And thank you so much for talking to us, Alana.
Thanks, Alana.
Thank you. What a pleasure. Have a good day, guys.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.